Excuse me, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. That's the one I want. 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. Now last week we talked about this parable that our Lord gave, in which he gave each one of his servants a pound each. And we said we were looking at what that pound was. And we said essentially it was each one of us has been given something very equal. There are things that each of us have been given that are distinct, like spiritual gifts, for instance. But there's things that we're given that are exactly the same. And I mentioned three of them, except really these three get held up into one idea. The first idea is that we are given 24 hours in every day. Everybody gets the same amount. I don't get 22 and you 25, even though I wish I had 25 or 26 on occasion, but we all get 24 hours in a day. And within that 24 hours, we have been given, I said, two things that are absolutely equal. Now, you remember what they were? See? Okay. Number one was the gospel. And number two was the word of God. Each of us has the same Bible. We may have different translations, but we have the same Bible. Some of the Bibles, well, we won't worry about that. And then there, but we've been given a Bible and we've been given the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And within that 24 hours of a day that each of us have been given, we have been asked to do business for God in that 24 hours, in that lifetime, which is made up of a number of 24 hour days. Who knows how many? But the real question tonight is this. I want to get very practical, and I'm going to give you two challenges. And I wish I was here to be able to actually nail these challenges in your mind. But anyway, I won't be able to hold you accountable. But I'd like you to challenge yourself in two things. Number one, we said that we were given the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that we were to do business with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in our everyday life, in those 24 hours that we've been given. Now, I want to tell you a story. First story is this. This story is this. I had a good friend. He's an older man. And he was dying of cancer. And he was getting very weak. It was toward the end of his life. He knew that. Everybody else knew that. There was nothing they could do. And so they had called in an organization which is tremendous in the United States called Hospice. And these folks come in, they're mostly nurses, and they come in and they will help with the care of this person. And it's given as a free service to help care for this person who is dying. And so this man, the nurse came in for the very first time, introduced herself, wanted to find out what she could do to help. And how she could be of help to him. And he said to her, he said, well, the first thing I would like to say is that I know that very quickly, very soon, I'm going to go into eternity. And he says, I would like for you to tell me. I want to be sure that I'm going to heaven. Can you, now this man was a believer. He was very sure of heaven, but he wanted to know, he wanted a witness for the nurse is really what he wanted to do. And so he said, can you tell me how to get to heaven and be sure about it? And he was absolutely flabbergasted because this nurse, who had never seen him before, gave him a wonderful answer on exactly his condition, and how he could be sure that he was in heaven. And of course, they were bonded together just like that, because he told her, now, you obviously are my sister in the Lord Jesus as well as my nurse, and they got along well, and a few months later he passed away. Now, here's the question, here's the challenge. If you were that nurse, how would you have answered the question? Now, this is when I would really like to be your Sunday school teacher on Sunday morning. Because what I would get from you is each one of you, I would have you come into the Sunday school class and I would have you tell me how to be saved. And that's a challenge for each one of our hearts, isn't it? Could we, when we would be asked that question, because the Bible tells me that in fact I am to be ready to give an answer for the reason of the hope that lies within me. If you were asked that question by a dying person, would you be able to adequately answer that question? You see, that's what this verse tells me in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Breaking into the middle of a sentence, it says in verse 19, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us. This is something that has been committed to us. Like, you know, when you go up to the bank, you commit your paycheck into the hands of the teller. Now that teller takes that, and when you go back to the bank 3 days later and you would like to withdraw some of that money because you need to buy something with that money, you expect to be able to get out of the bank at least as much as you put in it. It'd be nice if they give you a little more, but at least as much as you put in it. You committed that to them. Now, what has been committed to every one of us is the word of reconciliation, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in verse 20 it says, so then we are ambassadors for Christ. That's what we are in this world. Amongst other things, we are ambassadors for Christ. And when we are in this world as his ambassadors, as his spokesman, that's what an ambassador is. He comes to America, he comes from the Bahamas, and he comes to America, and he speaks for the Bahamas to the American people in whatever way that the Bahamian government would like to tell the American people, then he's the person that does it. Well, God has sent you and I into the world for the same purpose, to give his message to a world around us that, frankly, many of them are on their way to hell. And he says, I've made reconciliation. Now, I've committed to you the word of reconciliation because you're an ambassador. Now, what Paul says here in the next verse, he says, so then we pray you in Christ said, be ye reconciled to God. You see, he wants us to tell people how they can be reconciled to God, how they can be saved, how they can have eternal life, and how they can know it. Now, if I don't know how to do that, then I will never be able to fulfill this mission that has been committed to me. This isn't my being committed. This isn't my commitment. This is something that has been given to me, meaning that there will come a day when the Lord Jesus Christ himself is going to say to you and I, what did you do with the gospel that I committed to you? Now, if I can't communicate the gospel to someone who is dying, I am really not a faithful ambassador of the Lord Jesus. I would challenge you to go home tonight, to take a piece of paper, and write out in 3 or 4 paragraphs just exactly what you would tell the dying man that asked you how he could know that he was born again. I'm so thankful that this lady, this nurse that came, was able to communicate that. And it was wonderful that within that organization in the United States, she is free to do that as well. And I find that very wonderful as well. But that's an aside. But I wonder if you and I would do as well as that nurse. Challenge number 2. We have been given the Word of God. Now, that's a big book, isn't it? And you know, turn back to the Psalms. And I'm just going to get all of these verses essentially out of Psalm 119 because we don't have time to flip through it. And Psalms 119 is a wonderful chapter. And I think all but four verses in the entire 176 verses talks about the Word of God. And it's an exposition, really, of the wonder of the Word of God. Now, in verse 89 of that chapter, it says this, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Chapter 1 of 1 Peter, verses 24 and 25 says, the grass withers, all of these things of earth are going to fade away, but there's one thing that is not going to fade away, and that is the Word of God, because the Word of God liveth and abideth forever. Do you know what that means? That when I get into eternity, when I come out of time and I get into eternity, there's only one book that I have today that'll last into eternity, and that's this book. This is the textbook of eternity. Not only time, but it's the textbook of eternity. In other words, every other textbook that I have in life, be it a history book, a geography book, a philosophy book, a psychology book, a geography book, a mathematics book, a computer manual, whatever, all of those books may be fine for time, but there's only one book that's fine for eternity. And when you and I get to eternity, this is going to be the book that's going to be central in eternity. And you know, it's a good idea for us to get started with sort of a groundwork on this book before we get there. Because when we get to eternity, we are going to be asked of what we know about this book. How have we used this book? How have we done business with this book? And for all of the learning that we're going to have in eternity, and it's going to be much learning in eternity, but during that learning of eternity, this is the book that we're going to be learned from. This is the only thing that you and I hold in our hands today. No video games, no websites, nothing that we have today is going to get into eternity. This is the only thing that's going into eternity. How well do we know this book? Have you read it through? Completely. Including Habakkuk. Do we know what this book says, essentially? I want to give you another challenge. I mean, I would love to spend about a half an hour with this challenge, but I don't have that time. But I want to give you a challenge. I want you to go home and I want you to take every book of the Bible. Ooh. Eventually, not tonight. But in your time with the Word of God, what each of us should be able to do is say what basically is in this book. For an instance, what's in Genesis? If you were going to tell me in five sentences what the book of Genesis is about, could you do it? Could you do it if I asked you that about Exodus or Leviticus or Numbers or Deuteronomy? Let me tell you what I'm thinking about. If I were going to write down in four or five sentences what about the book of Genesis, I would do a couple of things. I would do maybe a couple of different things. The first thing I might do is I say, okay, fine. It divides sort of between 11 and 12. 12 starts of biographical sketches of four men. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. That's the rest of the book of Genesis. The first half of the book, the first 11 chapters, I'm going to have four events. I'm going to have the creation, and I'm going to have the fall, and I'm going to have the flood. Let's see, I'm going to have the Tower of Babel. There's four big events in the first 11 chapters, and I got four men in the last, 11 from 50 is. 39. Or I could say the whole book of Genesis is built on 10 generations. This is the generation of. There's 10 of them in the book of Genesis. And that gives me an outline of the book of Genesis. I might go to the book of Exodus and I'm saying, well, first of all, we got the bondage in Egypt, and then we got the plagues and the deliverance, and then we got the trip to Sinai, and then we got the law, and then we got the building of the tabernacle. Four sentences, five sentences. Basically, that's what's in the book of Exodus. But it gives me an idea of what's in that book. Now, I can fill in the details later. But somewhere along the line, I think we need to back off from the little details of the book and say, what is this book about? You were looking at 1 Samuel 21, 20, 21. What is the book of 1 Samuel about? What do we have in the book of 1 Samuel? What do we have in the book of 2 Samuel? I mean, 1 Samuel starts out with Samuel, doesn't it? And then it goes to Saul, and then it goes to David. When I get to 2 Samuel, I have basically the reign of David, don't I? For the whole book. And I can divide that up before Bathsheba and after Bathsheba. There's different ways in which I can divide, but there's two or three different ways you can divide the book up and say, this is what that book is all about. And you know, I have found that when I have forced myself to do something like that, something that's overview-ish, I don't know if that's the word, my computer might scream at me for that, but I would just override it. I do that quite often. Ignore. 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 I like the way I wrote it. Ignore it. But you see, when we do that kind of a thing, and if we could do that through all 66 books of the Bible, we would have a handle on what this Bible is about. And then someday in eternity, you'd come across a guy by the name of Obadiah, and you'd sit down next to him, and Obadiah would say, hey, how'd you enjoy my book? And you'd say, well, yeah, it was a great book, and this is what it's about. And he'd say, oh, you really read it. Well, that's great, because there's a lot of folks that never read the book of Obadiah. Never knew what it was all about. Each one of us has 24 hours in a day. Each one of us has the Bible. Each one of us has the gospel. That's what's going into eternity with us. And everything else you do, legitimate or illegitimate, but let's stay with the legitimate stuff, all of the other legitimate things that we do in life are going to end when we leave this life. Only this book and the contents of this book and the gospel that's in this book is going to be, are we going to be held accountable for in eternity and will go with us into eternity. See, that's why you and I need to put this book and the contents of this book very high on the list of our things to do each and every day of our lives. A challenge. Go through the 66 books and in two paragraphs or a few sentences, tell me what is in every book of the Bible. Hey, that will not be by Sunday. Not by Sunday. I won't ask you for that by Sunday. But if I was here 6 months from now, I'd ask you to see how far you got. You see, that's what's going to happen in eternity. And that's why we need to put our time, our effort, into what's in this book and be able to trade with it for God. Because when we get to eternity, he's going to say, now what did you do? How did you use? What did you do with this book that I committed to you? Did you trade with it? Did you use it for my glory, for my honor, for the advancement of my kingdom while you're here on this earth? Nothing else is going to matter then. Let's pray. Father, we're just so thankful that you have given to us, you have committed to us this great message. You have committed to us this great book. Our Father, we recognize that so often there are so many other things in our lives that seem to be more important, that seem to be more crushing for time, that seems to be more urgent for our attention. And because of that, we put your things on one side. Our Father, we would pray that you would cause us to realize how important our Bibles are, how important the gospel is. And our Father, we would pray that we might realize early in life that these are the things that are the most important. And our Father, we would pray that as we would look at these things and as we would challenge our hearts in these things, our Father, we would pray
that you would cause us to know your word, be able to use it effectively, that we might trade with it for the things of eternity. We would ask you these things in the worthy and precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's the fastest 15 minutes of the entire evening. You're dismissed.